expert.
If every other coach is thinking that, and he's the first coach that said that, it's like, you don't have to say like, if everybody thinks that, you don't have to say it. Like, Rozzy, you made a point like, well, I get what he's trying to say. He could have recruited the same 500 people without saying shit. Like, there was no benefit to him saying that. There's not one. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, aka Ferg, join my co-host Rozzy and Buff. But first, before we jump in, I want to take a second to say happy International Women's Month. So with that being said, fellas, what's on your mind?
Speaking of women, I don't know what the other two brothers are going to say, so I can't definitively say this, but I think you are marked safe, listeners, from Sierra's dress. And and whether or not Russell should have let her wear it or not, and whether or not he's lame. I think you're marked safe, but you know Rozzy is a wild card, so you never know. So we shall see by the conclusion of this show, but I think y'all are safe, man. That's
are we
going to
talk
got.
About that? Are we, y'all?
Fallout of it?
I mean, it was a party. It was a theme for a party. It's not like she was the only one that was wearing it.
No. Yeah, I mean,
I think the most of the debate should have been was, would you be comfortable with your wife wearing that? Yes? No? Cool. It shouldn't be any representation of whether or not Russell is a man or not.
I kind of agree with you.
Go ahead.
My only pushback is if you guys have decided that you and her feel comfortable with that, I don't like his pictures. I told you, I would have been so inappropriate in those pictures standing next to her.
Oh, yeah.
You would have seen all kind of inappropriate gestures and hand motions and all kind of stuff. She'd like, you're embarrassing me. Because it would have been like, well, you know, he don't got no problem with it. Because at this point, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He still looked so
androidish.
Yeah, like he's a cyborg. So, like, I would have been like, you like, dog, that is, we know that he is smashing tonight, or already smashed before he got here. You know, I'd have had the most inappropriate grin on my face.
Right.
I've been in straight creep mode. They're like, this dude is like, the story would have been more about me at this point. It's like, he's over sexualizing her. Nigga, look at my wife. If you gonna be that, if Z ever wore something like that, which I doubt she would, but even when she wears something just like, when we go out and she's looking good, you can see my chest rise just a little bit more. I say everything that night with my chest a little bit more, and his chest wasn't high enough for me. So that's just me. Anything else, Rozzy?
I guess I will say, the fallout is what really got me. That whole question in his manhood and all of that, I didn't get it. Like you said, that should have been decided before they left the house if he had a problem with it or not, right? And once they walked out of the house, it is what it is, like you guys say. And truthfully, I probably wouldn't have a problem with it. If my wife was built like that, like you said, Ferg, I'm like, hey, that's what it is. Nipples weren't showing. I've seen, going to the beach and having a bikini on with less skin or more skin showing than what she had in that picture. You know what I mean? So I probably wouldn't have a problem with it either way.
Well, me and Z already had that conversation. I don't like it for my household, but every household is different. You know, like, that's just for me. There's other conversations we've had around that, but you know.
Yeah. Time and place, for me, they're not at the beach. So I can't use that analogy because they're not at the beach. But it's almost like first say, like for me and mine, I don't think I would be okay with it. But I'm also not gonna question him for him being okay with it. Like, everybody's different.
I'm pro-choice on this. And just like when it comes to pro-choice, me and my household, I'm pro-life. You know, like that's my decision. I want to give you the choice in your household to define your relationship and the parameters of your relationship however you want. But in the Ferguson household, we have certain things that we talk about, and we talk about not just like, I don't want you wearing that. There's a bunch of whys and all this stuff. Help me understand. And vice versa, there's things that Z wouldn't want me to do, you know. So it is what it is. It's not controlling. It's conversations and respecting each other's thoughts and wishes as well. So, and freedoms, you know. So, and there's that age old debate. Does your freedom impose on mine as well? Right. So that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. I try to be careful with the word let. Like I try not to say I wouldn't let or wouldn't let. She's a full functioning adult.
Yeah.
What I try to stick with is I wouldn't be okay with
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't support it necessarily, yeah. You know? And that's the thing, you know? So there's things that Z wouldn't support me doing as well. So it is what it is.
That's it.
What else we got?
Have you guys seen this whole Chloe Bailey, Idris, whatever his last name is from Snowfall?
It was mid.
The movie? So it's a series, right? But it's only a scene.
Yeah, everybody talking about the scene.
Swarm, right?
Yeah, Swarm, and he was giving us some back shots or whatever. I ain't gonna lie, that arch was pretty nice though. Just saying, she, you know.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've been out of pocket these last few days.
Yeah,
it's floating around. You can easily see it.
So go check that out if you haven't seen it. So I hear
why Rizzy?
No, I hear the show is actually pretty okay. So I'm more so talking about the show than the scene. Go check out Swarm. Just because I support Black creators, because I think there's a Black producer on it and everything like that. So we want to you know, really kind of go after and support those folks. So go do that. For me and my nerddom though, and the gamer in me, Diablo 4, the beta's out right now, but Diablo 4 is dropping. And if you guys have never played Diablo, it is one of the most fun, easiest, but hardest games in the world. It's a little bit different take on, because the angles, it's one of those top down kind of angles. So it's a little weird to get back used to if you're kind of into first person shooters and everything. But Diablo 4 is actually going to be really, really dope. People have been playing Diablo 3 since it dropped, and it still has a real big following. So this is a big deal for gamers to move into Diablo 4. Ferg, I think it's one that you really would like too. It gives you a lot of hack and slash. You can play an archer. It's got the whole, you know,
outfit, I'm all about the archer, kit, baby.
And all that stuff. Yeah. Like, so you can do that, but it's not like super difficult. So it's a really easy game to get into, but at the same time, no, just called me a basic
gamer. So for you basic, he wouldn't even call me a gamer. For you basic video game players. Okay. All right. I'm still waiting on Harry Potter. We're still waiting on my Hogwarts
Legacy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Diablo is gonna be big, man. So go check that out. And finally, anybody have a bracket that got busted? I assume everybody, because there are no outstanding brackets that are haven't been busted right now. But the March Madness has been wild. So just kind of having fun watching all of the shenanigans and the craziness that's been happening with the brackets. So you guys, any like big surprises for you guys?
I can't think of anything I care less about than college basketball.
Wow. And there it is. Well, once again, I said I've been out of pocket. So I took the family to spring break this week. And so I tried to disconnect from anything that was really outside of my family. So didn't watch any real news, didn't watch any games. We did movie nights, if you know, that was the most TV we watched, you know, stuff like that. So it was nothing that was just all about me. So I'm kind of behind. So I got some questions. Buff, I'm definitely ask you about what's going on with Trump.
He's about to get locked up. Lock him up.
Can you give the listeners a quick overview, or are you prepared to talk about that?
He might get indicted Tuesday.
And so what does that mean for the simple minded? Not simple minded, that's such a rude. What does that mean for
the layman
terms? Including myself.
If you're someone that has been wanting Trump to be held accountable for any of the many things that you think he needs to be held accountable for, this is one step closer to it. You got to keep in mind he's rich. So rich people getting indicted versus if Byron got indicted, it looks a lot different.
What is he getting indicted for? Because there's so many, like you said, there's so many different things that's going on.
That I can't remember. I know it's in New York, and I believe New York was going after him about your charities that ain't really charities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stuff like that. I believe
basically tax evasion type stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So and he, I've been hearing, like, I don't even pay it any attention anymore. I've been hearing we're one step closer to something happening to him for, I feel like, the last 3 years, nothing happened. But this one seems legit because even he kind of believes it and is calling for protest if he is indicted. So Tuesday should be a interesting day. So we'll see.
Yeah, his patriots have gone to their little, I don't know, whatever corner of the internet they call it now. But
the orange web.
That's what you call it. But they've been on, and they're talking about like surrounding Mar-a-Lago and like creating a patriot moat is what they called it. They were like small or mid caliber weapons can shoot down low flying helicopters if police try to use helicopters. Like, it's been this whole thing. You talk about the rise of the Civil War or whatever. It's a little bit of that. Like, they're like, they're not going to let him get indicted or arrested. And you, like you said, Buff, he called for that. He was like, y'all got to come out and protect and protest. And so they're like, it's hearkening back to January 6th based off of his rhetoric that he's
like, talking. Isn't this like January 6th all over again? Like,
yeah,
dude, you're about to incite a riot. You're about to incite mass pandemonium and you don't see it. Like, you're still playing innocent.
And oh, he sees it.
But it's almost like if it happens, doesn't this help the case against him? It's like, it's more of the, dude, you're causing a scene. You play this innocent bystander role, but you're doing the same thing you did January 6th. And this time it's more blatant. Basically, hey, don't let them get me. Whatever you need to do, don't let them get me. But we all know how this is going to pan out. So,
mm-hmm.
But go back to what you were saying about the Civil War. The reason I brought that up is because I thought more about it. And I'm thinking maybe not in the next 10 years, but who knows now with this kind of stuff. It's going to be the rise of a third political party. That's going to be it. It's not going to be the Democrats versus the Republicans. It's going to be a third political party. You know, Tea Party? Maybe. Yeah, but I don't know. It's going to be somebody. It's going to be another party coming out and just causing pandemonium. And the Orange Party might be it. Well, I'm going to jump into a couple things real fast. So, like I said, spring break. I took the family to Dallas. I did two spring breaks, which was such a haze. My wife's a teacher, so we went to Dallas for the weekend to start off the spring break. She's a diehard SZA fan. So for Valentine's, I got her SZA tickets. Thank you, Ryze, for helping me pick the seats because I had no idea what to do. The seats were great. The concert overall, pretty dope. You know, I've never been a SZA fan. I've heard a couple of her songs and stuff like that. But just to see the audience interaction and how much they are bought into her. I mean, she's a superstar to make it. Like, she's something special and makes pretty damn good music. And it was just, I'm a people watcher. So just watching how the youth and others there just took to her. It's a thing of beauty. Like, a lot of times we talk about, you know, how worried we are for the future and how this next generation is this or that. And I kind of had this thought process while sitting here watching them and halfway listening to SZA, is it's not the youth, it's us. You know, like, it's every generation has a chance of being the greatest generation until the generations before them beat them down into submission and have them fall into line. So my charge now is really to try to help guide, but let them be themselves. And I say that because I have young kids, and 10 years from now when I have teenagers, you know, it might be a little different. But at the same time, you know, when they said, "I believe the children of the future," like, it's real. Like, these guys could be what the world is looking for and needing. It's just, we're scared of what getting away from what we want and what we're used to. And therefore, it's, you know, we try to beat them into submission so we can keep the conservatism, whatever it is, going, you know. But dope concert. And second part, I took the family back to Dallas this week for spring break. We had a lot. We did a lot of events: Zoo, Reunion Tower, National Science Museum, and just did a tour of Dallas. And I say that because it was really an emotional trip for me, because some of my best memories of my dad were in Dallas. Right. So I honestly think the best version of my dad was when he was in Dallas, when it was just him, my mom, and my siblings and I. And he was young, energetic, optimistic, so full of hope and just like for the future, you know. And the opportunity that was in front of him in Dallas was just like the sky was the limit. And he was just a different person. And I thank God sometimes. Well, I thank God. And when I think about it sometimes, I got the best version of him. You know, I had that two parent household when I was younger. I had that parent that was so invested in my upbringing and my education and my experiences and stuff like that. So took my kids on a tour of Dallas, some of our old stomping grounds. And it was weird because I realized a lot of different things, even when I took them to townhouses we stayed in. And that's the first time I realized that we weren't poor, but there was definitely a different in economic standings with me and some of my friends. But that's a subject for another day. So but it was a great trip. Was able to kind of relive some of the moments and go to some of those places that had special meaning for myself and my family. So and the reason that was so crazy was this past week marked the 1 year anniversary of his passing on the 14th. So it was right around that time that we're in Dallas. So outside of that, I don't think I have much more. Razi, I know Sophia's not with us today, so you have a joke for us?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Y'all got me today. So but I do want to take a second and just say it's good hearing about like your dad in Dallas and kind of being able to kind of look back on that and think through that and those good times. Keep those, man. Keep those close to your heart, because truthfully, that's what gets you through, right? Is not dwelling on not having them, but remembering what you had, and then, you know, being there with the family and then being able to see what you have going forward. It's a good technique, man. So just, you know, lean into that. So let's see. I got a couple. All right, I'm gonna do this one. So why don't white people have rhythm? Because they never got beat.
Yeah.
No.
Happy International Women's Month, everybody. Welcome back to Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. Once again, you are joined with Ferg, Razi, and Buff. And remember, we're at the part of the show where we get into the questions. And as you all know, when you hear the questions, we hear the questions. And unfortunately, when you hear the jokes, we hear the jokes. So who's up first today?
One of you two. I went first last week, so.
I'll go unless you want to first.
It's up to you, man.
All right. So Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, if you will, caught a little flack a few weeks ago on some comments he said. I think along the lines of when he's scouting for a defensive lineman, he usually wants one that's coming from a single parent home. That's, he's going to fight like hell to get mama out the hood and stuff like that. And if he's looking for a quarterback, he wants them to have two parents, smart, and stuff like that. He called flag for it. But a lot of people were saying that what he said was true. It's just that he shouldn't have said it out loud. So it's kind of like a two-part question for you. Do you agree with all of part of what Deion said, and to a larger extent, is it okay to say things that sound bad out loud but are actually true? Or should we keep certain things quietly kept?
I'll jump into it as the so first question was what? I just want to make sure I get it before I speak.
Do you agree with what Deion said? Coach Prime. Sorry, Coach Prime.
Not only no, but hell no. Like, I feel like you're putting stereotypes on people. I only want a coach who's white and grew up in a predominantly good football school and all the, like, what would make me think that Deion is smart enough to coach white boys who grew up in two-parent households and all this stuff? It's stereotypes. It's the same reason we have the Rooney Rule. Like, people are putting stereotypes on people based off of certain characteristics that they believed in. Go back 10, 15 years ago, black quarterbacks didn't stand a chance. They held Vic down. They held so many black quarterbacks back because they wanted them to fit in this paradigm of what a quarterback should be. And now they're seeing that that doesn't work. The best quarterbacks are the passing, running, like the option. Like that wasn't that was high school, college. It wasn't pro football. And I think Deion needs to shut the fuck up. Like, he needs to. You know what? Better yet, I take that back. Coach Prime, keep talking. Because now we know what team you're on. So to your second point, you're saying, should people say it? I don't know if it's okay to say it, but I want them to say it. Because I want to know.
And not just that specifically, but just like,
yeah,
you know,
anything.
In general.
Yeah, like, yeah. I want you to say what you think, because now I know what you I don't want to guess who you are. Get it off your chest, so now I know where you stand and where I stand with you. So to say that these, basically, it was, we know what he was saying. I want a white boy quarterback or a black quarterback that grew up in a white situation. You know, that's what he's trying to allude to. That's exactly what he's trying to allude to. And if he says anything differently, then we all know he's lying. And I think that's BS. Even with the, but these hungry guys that's trying to get their mama out the hood, they don't need to be smart. They don't need that. I just need somebody who's hungry who can go out and tackle somebody who has this anger or whatever. This, like, dude. I mean, this is one step away from slavery. Like, this is a conversation. He's basically auctioning off what he wants for his football team. Like, give me the big buck nigga over there to be my D lineman. You know, I don't know, man. It's perpetuating a stereotype that needs to change. People can grow, and these are young men too. Like, they're young. They can be groomed. If Byron has all the skill set and the want to do this stuff, maybe because he grew up in hood, that dude that had that same upbringing as a lineman is hungrier than these kids that went to private schools and two-parent households that were groomed to be quarterbacks. You've been telling me my whole life I'll never be a quarterback. And I'm about to show you. And I'm going to go in because I want it, because I want to get my mother out the hood. I know being a quarterback, the opportunity that can come with that, and all the doors I can open for other black quarterbacks who are in the same situation. These guys might take it more seriously. but we'll never give them a chance. Same reason with these coaches, everything. You know, like this is one step away from the coaching situation in college football and pro football. Not enough. And if anybody should understand that, it should be him. But you know what? Go, Rizzy. I'm over this dude.
I don't have much to add, truthfully. I mean, it comes down to, is the person, the individual, smart enough to play quarterback, right? Do they have the vision for the field? Do they have the speed, the agility, the arm, all the attributes that you need? Nothing that I've seen said where they grew up or who their parents were or whether they were in a two-person household. The things that make a good quarterback are not that. And I've seen kids that come from single parent households that are just as cool and collected and calm. And they're not as, you know, they don't kind of fly off the handles and stuff like that. And I've seen people from two parent households that do that, exactly that. They can't keep their cool. They can't keep their head about themselves. You know, they shrink from danger. It has nothing to do with the parents. Like, I don't get where he is coming from with that. It really should be, look at the character of that kid, because the character of that kid, period, is the thing that actually is going to get them where they're going to be, right? They're going to be hungry for different reasons, right? I don't think you have to have a hunger to be able to make it to the league, no matter what position you're in. Quarterback, D-line, O-line, running back, whatever. You got to have a hunger for it. And the kid from the two-parent household may get that hunger because his dad always wanted to play or whatever. And so, you know, he's going to push him up. Maybe his dad coached high school ball, and so he pushed him. And then maybe that kid that didn't have a dad in the household at all, and he just knows that I have an arm, I'm hungry, I want to make it to the league, and I got all the things that I need to be a quarterback.
But dad can still be there. Like, we just assume because he's not in a household that he's not there. Like
that as well. Yeah. So when we talk about two parent household, it doesn't necessarily have to be two parents in the house, right? It could be two parents in the kid's life and doing all of that. But what I'm saying is, like, all those different situations don't matter, right? Whatever drives that kid, whatever hunger that kid gets, comes from them personally and their personal drive. Right. And so it can be anything that's causing that. And so I definitely don't agree with that. And I agree with you, is he's stereotyping. He's going to, I guess he's trying to make his job easier and saying, oh, well, those kids that come from those two households. I get what he's trying to say in a very, very poor way. It's like, hey, I've got to look at, I don't know, 1200, 1400 quarterbacks in high school right now and try to pick my quarterback. And what thing can I do to kind of start chopping? And so I'm going to use that as this crutch. And yes, I may miss 7 good candidates, 10 good candidates out of that pool of say 500 kids that I chopped off because of that thing. Right. That's what he's trying to say, but it's still very poorly. He's putting it out. He's saying it very poorly. And I really do think that he's like, he really believes that his chances are better in a two-person household. And I just don't think that. I don't.
Man, Ferg said everything that I pretty much wanted to say, probably a little more harsher, because I always have to say this whenever I discuss people that I liked as a kid growing up. I was a Deion Sanders fan, so I have to put that out there first. But I agree with everything Ferg said. You made the great point that you made, and just everything you said. Like, to say you're looking for a player that's coming from a single parent household, okay, what if they flipped it on you and say, well, I'm looking for a white coach that's coached at a big school before, that has the experience. You know what I mean? So Bomani Jones says something. He has this saying that he says all the time: listen to me now, believe me later on. And he has been on the criticism of Deion from the beginning. And I think it's been fair criticism. But he's gotten pushback from fellow black males that say, hey, you're a black man tearing down another black man. Well, Deion is giving people a lot of ammunition to use with his comments. And I think that comes because he wants to be a star. He still wants to be a star. He's not looking at just coaching. You know, he has his son giving us all access behind the scenes every day. He's doing every interview, every friendly interview that he can do. He still wants to be a star. And when you're a star and continuing to give certain sound bites, you're going to say, I think, ignorant things like he did. Because, yeah, I think the number one argument was, well, what Deion said is no different than what these coaches think anyway. He's just saying it. Okay, yeah, those coaches probably do think that. But as a black coach, he should have been the one to say how that's wrong to think that way. Not go along with the white supremacy. Go ahead, Ferg.
If every other coach is thinking that, and he's the first coach that said that, it's like, you don't have to say shit. Like, if everybody thinks that, you don't have to say it. Like, Rozzy, you made a point like, well, I get what he's trying to say. He could have recruited the same 500 people without saying shit. Like, there was no benefit to him saying that. There's not one. Besides, like you said, Buff, I want to stay relevant. I want to say something. You don't have to say shit. It's not like we interview him to get, like, you're a quarterback expert. What do you think makes a great? Like, no, you know, Janine again. I want somebody who's hungry, who can manage the game, who, you know, that's coachable, who has athletic. Like, just give him a generic answer.
And it gives cover to the white coaches that do believe that. Because now they say, see, there's nothing wrong with how I think. That's the right, I'm thinking the right way.
He's a coach, Misha.
So that's all I got, man. Like I said, Fer, you pretty much took care of everything, man. Who next?
Oh, man.
Oh, but the other half of your question, though, the whole should they say it? Like, I do want to kind of mention on that. I agree, Ferg. I think they should. I don't believe that whole something should be unsaid or something should be. If you believe it, if that's what you believe, say it and deal with it. I can't remember the clip, the YouTube clip where the white guy was like, I can't say the N-word. And the black dude was like, sure you can. Go ahead. I'll say it with you. You know what I'm saying? You can say it. Mm-hmm. If you want to say it. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Do it. And you deal with the consequences, because I feel like whatever you feel, you should be able to say and deal with the consequences of it. I mean, that. But Wu always talks about I told him he didn't have tact, and he doesn't. But there are some times where you don't mention things or you say it well because, you know, you know how to say things and when to say things. So I can see the point of, hey, sometimes you don't have to say everything right then, but I do want you to be able to say what you believe at the right time, in the right context. But at the same time, say what you believe. Say it.
Say whenever you want to, baby. As long as there's a camera or something around, get it off your chest. Get it off your chest, because we need to know who's in our corner. Like, people have been hiding behind shit too long. You know, say what you will. Because I think Trump is a perfect example. Nobody really expected America to let their racism slip show that way. Like, we knew they were racist. We needed Trump. We needed to see that. Are you serious? Like, y'all really gonna be? Come on now. Like, people you've known damn your whole lives were Trump supporters. Like, you needed to see that. You need to see Deion and people who support his way of thinking. And it's kind of like, thank you. Now, how you react to it is the same, you know, like, hey, I can just kind of still love you, but at, you know, I got my eye on you and keep you at bay. But at the same time, keep it going. You know, don't stop. Don't stop, mm-hmm. Won't stop. So for me, my question is, it's a weird one. So I started off talking about Happy International Women's Day and talking about the youth. So I'm going to ask you guys this question first. It's a real short answer first. And I want to see where your minds are at. What group do you think is responsible for the majority of the world's problems? Like, if you just had to give a demographic.
The world? The world, Craig?
The world, Craig.
British white people.
As a whole, just white people, or?
I mean, we can say white people, but that's such a broad category.
Okay.
Right. I mean, there's white people that are not so bad.
Not all white people. No. But so, I mean, if they are the majority of the world, then
well they're not, right?
They're because, not the majority of the world, but they've held the power.
Yeah, yeah. They rape, but they save.
Anything good that you give them credit for, you also have to blame them for the bad.
So let me see if you guys agree with me on this. Older men hyphen white older men. Like, would you kind of agree that's where, because it's not just white men or something like that. Like, most of the power lies with older men, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about how they've created the systems, put them in place, held down women until women's suffrage, black people and minorities until civil rights. I mean, you got to think we're barely over 50 years away from some sort of equality.
And I'm not even going to say, like, I'm not going to even put that, not as much stress on white men. I mean, like you said, there's a world and they're not the majority, right? So you go all over the world, most countries are led by older men, right? Like, it's kind of the world problem. You know, they're the people in power. They're the people that's causing, you know, the wars and, you know, all the major problems in the world. So once again, as I said, I opened up talking about International Women's Month and the youth. And part of me is really adamant about, like, the majority of the world's problems are just caused by older men. And if we, and this is not going to be a popular opinion, how do you think we would fare if we finally just stepped away? We just got evicted and women had a chance to run the role, or the youth. Like I talked about, we beat it down on the youth and to cater to our whims and our ways of thinking that support a patriarchal society. That the word?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, who do you think would do better, fare better? Like, if we just gave the world and, like, you know, I'm not just saying, like, America elected, you know, a woman. I'm just saying, like, if the world leaders, we gave women a chance. Because we know what men are going to do. We've seen it. We've seen it since the beginning of time.
So, you know, here's a non-committal, won't pick one side of the fence answer for you. I think it'd be just as f***ed up.
What?
I think it may be different fuck ups, but it'll be just as fucked up, because no matter who leads, no matter who's in power, you're always going to have people that win and people that lose. And to the people that are losing, it's going to seem like it's going to be fucked up, because there is no policy that's going to look out for everyone in the world. There's no policy that's going to uplift everybody. For the people that you uplift, there's another group that you have to push down. So if we put women in charge, whatever policies they decide on, whatever wrongs they decide to right or whatever like that, you're still going to have losers. We put young people in charge, same thing. It's just going to be maybe different problems, maybe same problems, but probably different problems, but nonetheless problems. And it'll still be a segment of the world, of the country, that's up and doing bad.
Yeah. And I agree. And then mainly because it's not necessarily, just like we just talked about Dion in the comment, right? It's the qualities that you need to become a leader in a political system, in a, I don't know, monarchy, dictatorship, whatever. To be able to lead large volumes of people, there's certain qualities that you have to have. And there's a little bit of the ruthlessness there. There's a little bit of the, like you say, balancing the scales and figuring out who's going to win, who's going to lose. It's not easy. And no matter who's leading, there's always going to be that, right? The geopolitics of it all. This country wants more land, that country doesn't. So what do we do, right? We're going to try some sanctions, and if that don't work, we're going to put our military there. Like, they have to make those calls based on all these different factors, and whether you're a man or a woman, you have to make those calls. And sometimes they may be a little different, but 80-90% of the time is going to be generally the same. Like, you know, I look at it almost the same as a Democrat and a Republican in power and how they react to things, right? That's not that's two men doing it, and they're on different ideologies. So the man woman thing is going to be that same thing. There's going to be different ideologies there on how we should react to things, how we should deal with things, what policies we should put in place. There's not going to be a big difference in whether women led or men led today. Now, if society had grown in a matriarchal society from the start and we all grew, but there are historical tales of matriarchal societies that were still just as war hungry and did just as many atrocities to their people and everything. That happens whether it's a man or woman, whether it's patriarchal or matriarchal. It's gonna happen regardless. I think it really just comes down to what the people feel, what they grow, how they grow. And as your countries grow larger, what ends up happening is you have to start thinking about way more things. They talk about communism, and communes work for very, very small groups. Communism doesn't work when you start getting to very large interconnected groups and all of that. So that's the kind of the difference there is you start shifting toward different political systems based on how large a group is, how many different, people that are there and what they believe and their thoughts and their values and everything. So I don't see much difference happening just because women take over.
So what I take from you guys, very interesting points. I'm not disagreeing with either one. I just want to push back because that's why I asked the question, if we're all going to agree. Right. Riza, you made an interesting point about, you know, it'll be the same starting with today. Like, if women just took over power today, you know, so men are up the world that much that there's no hope. Almost, that's how I took, like, there's no hope for the world. Like, it doesn't matter who's in charge, regardless if it was men, women, kids, youth, whatever, because the world is doomed. Like, the world's gonna be fucked up from here on out, period. There's no hope, because if nobody can make a change, no one group, then what are we really doing? It's always gonna be fucked up.
So they can make a change, it'll just be different fuck ups. I mean, you look at, this is a small scale, but you look at women that are in politics, not just local, like high national politics. And then you hear, when they're no longer in office, you hear a story about how they treated their staff and things like that. Like, it's no different than how rude men are, you know what I mean?
And so I feel you, though. I think my pushback was, like, because every example you've given, it was still operating in a patriarchal society. Like, it's still like they are fitting in. They have to play by these rules to be respected and stuff like that. So it's never, I guess the closest thing I can compare it to, now that I think about it, is being at like an HBCU. Like, when you're around, when you have this small segment where this is your world. And the relationships, yeah, it's gonna still have this. I'm not saying though they're gonna have this utopia. Like, I don't think any group is gonna create a utopia, but a lot of the problems, there's still problems there, but there's so many other benefits that you don't get other places because of just different energy that is created within that confines of that campus and that network. So yeah, you can go to a PWI and be part of the BSU and all this stuff, but you're still kind of operating within the parameters of the school because you're still part of the minority. So I see, like, if a woman got elected today, it's still like if the Forever First Lady got elected, you know, she still has to compete with the male-dominated American political system and the rest of the male-dominated world. But in this one instance where it's women who may have grown up in this, well, who may have, who grew up in this male-dominated world and maybe really have this this true hope of like, ladies, we got to get it right because these dudes have messed it up. Same thing with the youth. You made another point about maybe if it started that way, you know, that's a whole nother thing. You know, it's, I never thought about it like that. If they started from the beginning of time, who knows? Like we're looking at it from a patriarchal society. Like, yeah, they'll never be able to fix the ups we made. Like it's still going to be, well, that's what I took from, it's still going to be the same, you know, not the same issues, but the same outcome. People are going to survive. Some people are going to thrive. Some people are going to be, you know, would it be better? Like there's nothing's perfect. You know, would the world be better off? Would there be less homeless? Like all the things are major issues that we have, you know, because we know, like I said, every war, you know, like not every war. World wars once started with women, you know, it's always been the men, you know, messing things up. And I'm not saying that they're going to do a great job. I just want to push back and like, oh, we've been in power so long. What if there was a, that might be the civil war we need, uprising, and there was a change of thought process, a change of leadership. And I don't even think if it was just one or two great women, it would have to be a mass overhaul, like of, you know, business, leadership, you know, political systems where, I don't know, man. It was just an interesting thought because when I was just talking, I forgot who I was talking to about this. And he was just like, interesting point. I never thought about that way because I'm a guy and I never, you know, we just never thought about women running the world because that's just how it is. We just always assume that the majority of the power is going to come from men. So I mean, don't know.
Like I said, you look at some of the monarchies where women were the queens.
And still operating in a male-dominated society.
I mean, but it's the power structure. It's not a male-dominated society when you think about it like that. It's about how do I keep my power? And who did they go to war with? Power, they went to war with, I mean, but they went to war because they had to keep their power.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, if that next door neighbor was a woman, would they have had to go to war? I'm not saying yes or no, but like, we don't know. Like, they're still operating
I just know their women are some of the cattiest people, you know, you hear it, right? I mean, that, like, those are the tropes when you hear about women, like, women can't get along, and you hear all those things. It's not much difference there. It's because we've got these stereotypes out there of men act this way, women act this way, but there are women that act just like what you would think of a guy, and there's guys that act just like you would think from a woman. It's like that I don't think the gender makes a difference in that. It's who can rise to power.
And plus I you know, it's not so much that I don't think women can make a difference or do better. It's just, I just think human nature always takes over. Human nature always wants the power someone else has. Human nature always wants to win versus lose. And at the end of the day, you're going to still get the same. You may get different, but similar issues and problems that we've gotten in the society we're in now.
So this is the reason conservatives are always scared that they'll lose the power, because then I see why they would never put black people in power. And I see why, like, it's, what's the point?
It definitely is. That's remember, I said it a couple times, conservatism equals racism. And it's not the people that are conservatives are inherently racist. It's that they're trying to conserve that power structure. They may not even know that's what they're trying to do, but that's what they're trying to do. And it definitely hurts minorities based on that.
I just like to say I disagree with that every time you say that.
That it is racism, or that they may not know that it's racism. Yeah.
Liberalism is just, it's racist too. Like, what do you, like, white supremacy is white supremacy, whether it's conservatism or liberalism. It ain't just inherently conservatism.
We high by, no. When I say that, when I agree with partially what he's saying, I think it's more of a movement than a party. So I think liberals and conservatives, same damn people.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it from
when
that.
I say conservatives, I'm talking about like the powers that be want to conserve. I say old black people are some of the most conservative people in the damn world.
Yep.
The Bible thumpers, the anti-gay, you know, like conservative. They want to keep the power structure. The black men who are super toxic and all this conservative. They want to keep things the same way they. I don't necessarily believe it's just racism. I just think it's the isms. Conservatism like is that. The conservatism is the parent of all ism. Is a power is a parent of all isms. That's exactly what it is. Like you, whoever is in power, I want to keep things the way it is. You know, yeah. I still want my, you know, come home to a meal and a big piece of chicken and the oven and all this stuff. That's what men want. You know, they want their woman to work and still clean and, you know, take care of the kids. That's what we want. And I say we as like as men in general, like the people, yeah. Like maybe not us, but that's what the men in today's society want. They want to be sexed. They want all this stuff. We want it. So.
Good question, man. Good pushback, too, by the way.
Yeah. I had somebody do it just because. Ryze, what you got for us?
Mine might be quick. I wanted to
you always say that. Shut up.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, Buff, you talked about should we say everything on our mind or should we put it out there, the unwritten's. But I have a young lady that... No, she shall remain unnamed, but you know, I talked to her a good bit, and she is very open and honest, and you know, has this kind of. She's dating, and while she's dating, she's very kind of fur. You talked about me, where it's just like you ask what happened to da da da, and I just be like, eh. She's kind of like that as well, and. She was like, am I toxic? Or I don't want to be toxic, but when I stop liking the guy or I don't feel like I'm going to be, you know, with the guy anymore, I'm honest about it and I just kind of move on or whatever. And no matter when that is in a relationship, and so it could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, it could be a month, whatever, she moves on. And I wanted to ask you guys, is that honesty, is that toxic that... Oh, we've dated for 2 months or a month and I'm moving on because I'm not feeling it anymore. Or, you know, that like, is that toxic? But when you really think about what people label as toxic, that kind of is it, right? It's like, in general, we'll talk. I use that as an example, but in like with guys, I smashed and I really don't feel like it's going anywhere after a week or whatever. And I move on. Is that really toxic or is it just me being honest with how I'm feeling?
Okay, I'm glad you can go, Buff. I feel like you wanted to.
Oh, I was gonna say we overuse toxic first and foremost. I just want to put that out there. We label everything toxic, and not everything is toxic. No, that example you gave is not toxic unless they go into the relationship or the dating, whatever it is, and intentionally lie and lead them on to think that it will be. Long term, you know what I mean? Like, if you're just kicking it, y'all hanging out, and you're in a relationship, but you decide it's not for you, it's not what you want, cool. You have the freedom to do that. That's not toxic. I think it's only toxic if you, when the lying and intentionally misleading people, that's when I think it becomes toxic.
100% Buff. I agree. Because you, if you go in a relationship and you're like, you know what, I want to see where this goes. You know, I like her. I'm feeling her. Of course I want to smash. You know, I am who I am. But it's, I'm not going in just to smash with the intent of leaving her as soon as I get, that happens. Because then, unless you leave with that, like, look, man, I'm a very physical person. I want to see where this goes. You know, like, maybe the sex just broke it up. But if you're just going in just to smash, you're lying to her and telling her or him that it's going to be more than what it is, and you know there's no chance of this being more than what it is, then I don't even call that toxic. You're just a f-ing liar. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just who you are. You're not toxic. You're just a liar. And my thing is, I don't like liars. You know, one thing I said, Ryze, is I didn't lie. Mm-hmm. I didn't lie. You know, I didn't lie. You know, if something was going on with us, me and you, and if I had a lady, you know, I had a lady. You know, I got a lady. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be more than what it was. Either be along for the ride enjoy whatever we have and keep it moving. Like, I'm not going to break up with my lady for you. Not about to happen. Those are never the conversations. And that's just me. And let's get away from me. I think just in general, if you go into a relationship and you're not interested anymore, get out. I think that is healthy. That's not only is it not toxic, that is healthy. You free yourself up and that person up to go on about their life. Yes, it might hurt them or it might hurt you, and it is not easy to do. But I tell people all the time, I was good at that. Like, I'm over this. Because now I don't want you holding on to me for 6 months or whatever. We're trying to make it work and there's no chance this is going to work. And you miss out on Buff. Because you could have met Buff at month 3, but you were busy dealing with my bullshit and trying to make it work. Go meet Buff. He's the man. He's the one that's going to honor you more than I am. You know, maybe he's the one. Because we both know, or at least I know, I'm not the one. You know, I remember I've said these words. You're going to make somebody very happy one day, just not me. You need to probably go on and find somebody else. And that one person decided to stick around as long as she did. Would she probably consider me toxic for leading her on? Maybe. That wasn't my intention, because I never lied to that person. I never lied to that person, never led that person on. Like, if you're in that situation, and maybe that's it. If is that toxic? If you know, like, look, this ain't gonna work. It is what it is. You might want to go do somebody else. You might mess with somebody else because this ain't gonna work. And you keep coming back. I mean, I'm not a liar.
Right, right. And I think I wanted to bring that up because I think the too often guys get, like you say, Buff, they get labeled as toxic when they were honest. And the girl came in thinking, I'm going to change him. I'm going to make him love me. He hasn't found the right one. I'm that chick. I'm the right one. So we're going to make it work. And when things play out just like he described, or not even how he described, like you said, I think a lot of guys do go in with the intention of not just smashing. It's like, let's see where it goes, right? Whatever that is. Yes, I want to smash, but we'll see where it goes. And when it doesn't get to relationship and they bone out, the lady's like, oh my God, what happened? And you know, label the guy toxic because he's dating. He's out doing his thing, dating, seeing people. But even when guys don't label women toxic as much as from what I've seen. So, and maybe it's because guys really don't care if she breaks it off or not as much. I don't know what that is.
We be in our feelings. That's why Drake has a whole following.
But so why is it that guys don't label girls as toxic? If we feel that kind of that same and we end up in our feelings.
I feel like sometimes we don't go through the same things they do as far as the way they break it up. You know, like,
plus you can get hurt by a situation, but that person not be toxic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just cause, like, and that's what toxic has become. They hurt my feelings, they're toxic. Mm-hmm. No, I told you I didn't want to be in a relationship. You chose otherwise. Yeah. Now you hurt, but I'm toxic. Nah.
And most of the time, I think women are more careful with feelings and how they deal with those situations. Because guys, when we check out, we check out. Especially if we kind of told you what's going on. You know, like, any hurt feelings after this point is on you. When a woman kind of tells us she's over us, a couple of things happen. We get crazy and stalk him and all that stuff. Because guys do get emotional. Mm-hmm. Let's not act like they ain't over here, you know, getting restraining orders and shit. Well, a lot of times we just dip, you know, like, to protect our ego. Like, we might lie to ourselves. Like, I think that might be it. Sometimes we're so busy lying to ourselves that we're not hurt because we don't want to deal with the hurt. We don't want to face the reality of the hurt, that this person just broke my heart. I really thought she was the one, you know, I thought she was one of the good girls. I really liked her, yada, yada, yada. And it didn't work out. And then you know, like, I've been hurt. Like, I want to say, I'm sure guys on here, everybody's been hurt on here. But I've been hurt, you know, so I couldn't call her toxic. I did say there was qualities about her that didn't work out, or I should have seen from the get go, or, you know, but I would never call her toxic. At least she didn't come off that way, you know.
Yeah, we probably don't call them toxic. We call them or, you know, she loose or whatever. Like that really kind of like,
because they don't have to even about cheating or anything. I just think we lied to ourselves, or we already saw the writing was on the wall. Like we realized that, you know what, I probably have more to do why this didn't work. Then, you know, and I talk about it all the time. Like with Z was the first woman I really fully committed myself to. I'm not going to say I cheated on everybody, but Z was the first person I really committed myself to the point where I purposely said, if it doesn't work, I know I've given it my all. Never did that. It works. You know, like, yeah. Okay, you know, she wasn't, you know, we dated for 6 months. You know, it didn't work out. You know, she wanted more time. Yeah, she probably could have got more time if I wasn't out here tricking out. You know, it is what it is, you know. So it didn't work out because I get it. You know, after I'm out of my feelings, you know, after I'm done singing my Drake verses, I get it. It was partly me. And I think we're willing to recognize that.
Yeah.
We're willing to recognize that, because that all men are dogs. Like, we don't have that. We don't have any generic sayings like that. Like, all women are dogs. All women are it's all men are dogs. There's a whole, why is that even a saying? What is the most generic saying that we have about all women?
They're emotional.
There it is. Yeah. And is that enough to break us up, you know? You know, it isn't, it's emotional is not as, I don't think it's as damning as like, all men are dogs pretty much says all men ain't shit. Like that's what I get from that. Unless you guys take it another way.
Nope, pretty much.
You know, so it's, some of it's accountability.
I saw one worse than that from somebody that said all men have raped or participated in rape behavior. I was like,
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was a hot take.
Yeah. But men, we do generalize some things, but it's never, I don't think any of our generalizations are as harsh and damning as the ones women give us. Like it's like, don't trust no man. Wow. You know, like all men cheat. Like those are the things that are said by men. You know, nobody's like, all women cheat. You know, like, we don't say that. Like, you might hear somebody say that. You might, your old uncle, like, dog, don't trust her. Don't trust her as far as you can see her. Dog, all women cheat too. Like, you might have that old uncle to say that, but that's not the generic, you know, local, you know, words of wisdom that are passed down beyond, past generation to generation. So, you know. Oh, with that being said, let's go ahead and close it on out, fellas.
Our brother podcast, Truth Be Told Sports, they're having a what is the greatest sports movie of all time bracket. So make sure if you follow them to vote on the different movies. And I also said that because we have discussed about a month ago, I brought up the idea not long after Billboard came out with their top 50 rappers of all time. I was like, hey, we should, not just us three, but us and the listeners, we should come up with our own top 50 greatest rappers of all time. And I didn't want to do it while Truth Be Told Sports was doing their bracket, because we have a lot of some of the same followers. So I didn't want to seem like we was like, I don't know, doing the same thing. So in about a few weeks or so, if we're not lazy, because that's always a possibility, we're going to try and come up with a way to, my idea is to have the listeners, like, just name your top 10 rappers of all time. And hopefully we'll get a whole bunch of different 10 rapper lists. And then from there, we'll try and narrow it down until we get the top 50. And it'll be a list that nobody who follows us will. You can't get mad, because that's what lists are for. Everybody gets mad at lists. But everybody will have input, because that's the first thing people say when they see a list. Who put this list together? What was they thinking? You won't be able to say that this time, because we all going to be able to put it together. Okay, so that is something that we may attempt to do again. we also may get lazy and not do it and move on to something else. So I just want to put that out there. Inspire you on there. Hold us accountable, man.
So, Rizzi, can we at least open it up to get nominees? Is there a way we can do nominees?
So we can start building. Yeah, I can figure out something on there.
Notice I said Rizzi.
Hey, Rizzi, I'm gonna try to keep track of so it's not gonna be all on you, dog.
Okay,
I'm gonna try to keep track of all the lists.
Cool.
Oh Lord, it's gonna be hard. But yeah, it's something I wanna do. We'll see.
All I got, man, it's happy belated birthday to your favorite doctor, Gisella Ward. So, Gigi, happy birthday. It was late birthday, but I forgot to mention you last week. So, shout out to her. And then shout out to the homie or my little niece, Ariel Beavers, about to graduate a year early from high school and going into college. So, we're anticipating the college selection, see where she goes. But shout out to her for graduating a year early. She's finishing up everything. And to parents out there, ACAP is coming. So that is kind of the placement test for Alabama to make sure that everybody is on track with their reading levels and math levels and everything. So that's coming up probably within the next 2 weeks, depending on the school system you're in. Make sure your kids are getting a good night's sleep, eating breakfast, you're getting them to school on time, all that stuff, because it's really, really important for the kid to be able to get advanced, especially when they're in second, third grade. Because if they aren't up to reading standards by the third grade, they will automatically get held back and the school has no choice about it. So third grade, fourth grade are very, very important. So if you're have a third grader, have a fourth grader out there, make sure you're getting them to school on time. Make sure you're feeding them in the morning before they go to school so that they are ready to take this. They're getting some good sleep the night before, all that good stuff. So that's all I got, man. Just want to put that out there because I know it's a big deal for the second, third, fourth graders.
Thank you, Rizzi, because I definitely be forgetting about that. So a couple of things. One, Buff mentioned Black Girl Magic, I think last week.
Yeah.
And we kind of joked around what it was. And so I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to some things I've seen recently. For one, SZA, what she's doing, like she's just hot and upcoming, and like her concert and her following and the impact she's making on the culture. Keep doing your thing. Was at the movies this week, fell asleep, but was at the movies this week and saw previews and saw the preview for The Little Mermaid. And so to Halle Bailey, I'm like, that didn't sound right. Keep doing your thing. To my step goddaughter, Haley Mancarella, keep doing your thing. And something that was also interesting is I heard a rumor that they're looking to do a live version of Princess and the Frog. And so I'm excited about that because having a little Black girl with magical Black girl of my own that I love and support, the more representation the better. And I would love to see, and she loves Princess Tiana, to see a live version of that, however it would be. So shout out to a little Black girl magic. You know, there's way more out there than that, but there's some things I just wanted to give kudos to. Also, like I said, this past week marked the 1 year anniversary of my dad passing, Kenneth Carter. So love you, Dad. You're gone but not forgotten. To my siblings, my family, I know we've all been under a lot of emotions the last few weeks because my grandmother also passed this a year ago this month on 3/3. So within 11 days I lost my grandmother and my father. So to the Carter family, you know, my heart goes out to you. We're going to get through this together. But on a brighter note, this time last year, we were all in Vegas hanging out, enjoying each other's company and friendship. And
$100 burger.
So happy anniversary to Bruce and Alexis McCoy. They're in Vegas now, enjoying each other, reminiscing on the fun times and the energy we had. So once again, happy anniversary to the McCoys. And with that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. Remember the six rules of podcasts: listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.